Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. I like watching various movies and video portrayals of biblical stories, especially the stories of Jesus, touched by the Passion of the Christ or the Book of John read word for word. Some of these are very good and faithful, and some of them are less so, but when I watch a good movie portrayal of Jesus, it often gives me some insights that I may have missed, some cultural nuance, or challenges some assumptions that I had made in reading Scripture. That's been especially true as I've watched the series, the digital series, The Chosen, these past few years. I know many of you have been watching it as well. I'll try not to spoil too much about season 3 if you haven't seen that. But at the beginning of season 3, Jesus has preached the Sermon on the Mount, and his preaching is having some impact, not just on his followers, but on other people as well. And after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, I'm quoting Matthew 10 here, not the movie, tells his 12 disciples, apostles, that he is going to send them out to other towns to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons. I must admit my assumption. I had sort of overly assumed that the apostles went out feeling very prepared, very confident, maybe with an Old Testament Joshua sort of confidence and courage, after they had watched Jesus do all the things he had done. But the Chosen did a good job of making the opposite assumption seem maybe more probable, that the 12 felt quite underprepared, very unsure of what was going to happen to them, even afraid of what might befall them. I don't know why I fell prey to the assumption of their confidence and competence and courage, as Jesus actually tells them in Matthew chapter 10, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. They will deliver you into their courts and flog you in their synagogues. If they have called the master Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? In The Chosen, the 12 do as their Lord, who they are in awe of, as their Lord has sent them. They go out despite their fear and start laying hands on people and anointing them with oil, but they have no sense of where the healing is coming from or confidence that their words will actually cast out demons. I particularly liked the scene where Simon the Zealot goes into a room and does a wrestling move on one small demoniac and holds him down while Matthew, who is portrayed as somebody on the autism spectrum, says a few words and the demoniac is freed from the demon. They are genuinely shocked when this power does work through them. They teach about the kingdom by repeating back to Jesus the words that they heard Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount. Words like the Lord's Prayer, which in good Lutheran catechetical fashion, they repeat back and forth to one another, petition by petition. In The Chosen, they then return. The 12 return to Capernaum and meet in Peter's house to debrief before they ever see Jesus again. They are both amazed and frustrated about what has happened. James the Greater is frustrated that they don't even understand how these things are happening. That he wants to know more about how he can heal and cast out. He wants to understand more about this power. In our epistle text, the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in persuasive words of wisdom." Why did I overly assume that the 12 apostles may have been confident in their first missionary journey when Paul was still feeling fearful and trembling two decades later. How are some of you feeling about future ministry? We have a new cohort of you SMP vicars and students just starting your studies and your vicarages. I can only assume there might be some fear and trembling among you this week. I hope Dr. Thompson and your mentors and others have been helping you to put those fears into the right perspective. For you residential students, if you haven't heard, there is a new missionary journey scheduled to start right here in a couple of months. We call it Call Day. And some of you might be counting down the days. Might there be a little fear and trembling that's going on as many of you go through interviews with congregations and wait for that first call or that vicarage placement, that internship placement? Where will I be going? What will the people be like in my congregation, in my community? How will they receive this word about the kingdom of God? What will your first messages be like, sound like? How will they respond to your speech? Many of you have heard my story, and some of you will hear it again this semester, of how my convertible vicarage placement and eventual call was to the most conflicted parish in the Kansas district. I spent many hours in prayer and pleading for the right words and patience, as well as thankful prayers that the people who became ambassadors of reconciliation later, Ted Kober and Bruce Zagel, had consulted and biblically taught about peacemaking and reconciliation to the parish before I arrived. But that's another story. Part of me wishes that I could tell you that after a few months or years, all that fear and trembling subsides. That when you get into your 50s and 60s, then everything will be smooth sailing. That has not been my experience. For many, maybe all, new struggles, new tribulations, new anfechtung will come, as they did for Paul and his fractured church plant there in Corinth. But Paul continued to put his trust not in something inside himself or his skills, but in the power and wisdom of God, which is the folly of the word of the cross. In the first two chapters of his letter, he knows nothing but the mystery of Christ's cross to save those who believe. And in the next to last chapter, chapter 15, he says that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And because of Christ's resurrection, when he returns, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, when the mortal body will put on immortality. This all sounded like folly to the Greeks and Jews of Paul's day, but it is the only confidence that he was clinging to. This still sounds like folly to many in our culture, but it is the power and the wisdom of God, even when we don't fully understand it. Teaching and proclaiming this message of Jesus is one that may at times bring you fear and trembling, not just before on call day, but for years to come. In the Sermon on the Mount portion read earlier, Jesus calls his disciples to be the light to the world, to, in essence, reflect his light out to others. But he doesn't leave us alone to do that by ourselves, by our own strength. At the end of Matthew's gospel, he promises, "Lo, I am behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And as Paul teaches the Corinthians about Christ's resurrection, return in chapter 15, he ends with these confident words. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. May our steadfast Lord grant us his steadfastness even to the very end of the age. In the name of Jesus, amen.